2 Peter and chapter 3 for our message this morning. I'd like to just encourage you that it's not a surprise to God that we are in the end times. And I think what we're all experiencing is just a reminder that Jesus is coming soon. And so I'd like to encourage you here from 2 Peter chapter 3. You want to scroll that down and screenshot it?
I am.
Okay. So 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to look all the way down through verse 9. The Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So I've entitled this morning's message, Willingly Ignorant, Willingly Ignorant. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts now as we look to it. And Lord, for those who will watch in the future, bless them from your word as well. We thank you for this opportunity and love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, God here is reminding us that we will face the end times, and of course we believe we're in those now, and that here in these last days, as he uses there in verse 3, he tells us that in the last days there will be scoffers. Now that phrase, last days, that's a big deal to us as Christians, especially where we find ourselves now in the world. And the Bible has a lot to say about the last days. I just want to share some of the scriptures with you. Go to 1 Timothy in chapter 4, and God actually has multiple descriptions of what it will be like in the last days and all the things that people will be denying. One of the things we see here will be the return of Jesus. But notice 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." So we see that also in the last days the people will be denying the faith, they'll be denying Christian liberty, they'll be denying absolute truth. Then if you go to 2 Timothy, just one book over, chapter 3, and look at verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." So God again here is telling us that in the last times men will be denying Jesus. They'll be denying absolute truth of the Word of God. And on it goes. And then over 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." So here in 2 Peter chapter 3, God mentions down in verse 3, he says, in the last days, we find ourselves in the last days. He says, what will happen? There will be scoffers. People who will be scoffing about the Bible, about truth, about Jesus Christ coming back. You know, the Bible tells us 2 Peter 2, just over one chapter in verse 1, he says, verse 1, but he says there'll be false teachers among you. Well, we find that all around us, don't we? False teachers are all around us. And that's part of God's testing of his true church. But we find that in the last days there will be scoffers. And look at what they'll be saying, verse 4 of 2 Peter 3. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is what the world is saying today. Where is the promise of his coming? Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? And the answer is found in verse 9, that God wants more people to be saved. But we'll talk about that in a few moments. But people will be denying the return of Jesus Christ, and we are finding that all around us. If we could go over to Luke chapter 12 and the verse 45, Jesus told us that this would happen, that people would be skeptical about his return. Notice Luke chapter 12, verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. In other words, there are even Christians who might say, well, Jesus probably isn't really coming back because he hasn't yet. What's he waiting for? Why is it taking so long? Why is the world such a mess? And God's going to answer that question for us. But the point that I wanted to make here in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3, if you turn there, this they willingly are ignorant of. This is the real issue, is people are willingly ignorant of the truth. And what does that mean? Well, according to the Bible, if you go to Romans chapter 1, according to the Bible, God put within each of us a conscience. And part of that conscience, Romans chapter 1, turn over there if you would, look down to verse 20. Part of that conscience is knowing in our hearts that we have a Creator. Look at Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what God is telling us here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, is that man is willingly ignorant. In other words, it's an act of his will to say, oh, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe that there's a creator. That's an act of will. Because God says he put in our hearts an innate knowledge that there is a God. He says here in Romans 1:20, they're clearly seen. When we look at creation, we can clearly see that there was a creator. When we see the design of creation, we can clearly know there was a designer. But man, fallen man, willingly makes himself ignorant of that and says, I don't want to believe there's a creator. I don't want to believe there's a God, because if I believe it, then I become accountable. Then I have to answer to him someday. So I'd rather come up with crazy theories like evolution. I'd rather come up with just saying there's no God and that we're just going to turn to dirt and that's it. So it's a conscious decision, according to the scriptures, to be willingly ignorant of a creator and willingly ignorant of the return of Jesus Christ. On down in Romans 1, if you're hopefully you're still there, in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So again, it's an act of man's will to say, there is no God. I'd rather close my eyes, I'd rather bury my head in the sand and say, there is no God. That's an act of will. And it says here, 2 Peter 3, 5, this they are willingly ignorant of. What do they do? How is this possible? Well, we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that part of the things that we would see in the last days, it says they would have their conscience seared with a hot iron. God gave us each a conscience. Part of that conscience is a knowledge that there's a God, but man can sear that conscience through sin and willful ignorance and say, I don't want to believe there's a God. I don't want to believe there's a creator. And of course, if I believe that, then I have to believe there's going to be a judgment, a reckoning. So, willingly ignorant. And that's where we find ourselves today, is the world in general is willingly ignorant of the Creator and of the return of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to Hebrews 11, where it's talking about faith, I want to show you something about faith. That when we believe there's a God, when we make a conscious decision to say, yes, I hear what my conscience is saying. Yes, I know that there's a creation and therefore a creator. Yes, I know there must be a God. And therefore, I know that I'm going to answer to him someday. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. No one has seen Jesus Christ in this age, but we believe he exists. Why? Well, because he wrote down his existence, he wrote down his words, he wrote down his miracles, and he gave them to us in a book called the Bible. But if man wants to be willfully ignorant of the existence of God and willfully ignorant of the return of Jesus Christ, then he pushes those things out and says, well, there is no absolute truth, there is no God, and nothing matters but today. And so this is what we find here in these last days, is man is willfully ignorant. Now he goes on to mention the flood. Isn't that interesting? Look in verse 5. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. How many people scoff at the flood? Oh, that's just a story. Oh, it's just a fantasy. Yeah, if you've been to the Grand Canyon, they try to tell you that little river carved that thing out over millions of years. And yet they keep finding strata all mixed up and fossils all mixed up. They can't explain it. You know why? That's because the Grand Canyon was probably formed in a couple of days when the flood was receding. And trust me, that's a lot easier explanation for things like the Grand Canyon than this little river from millions of years carved it out. The point is, God's saying there really was a flood. God really created the flood and used the flood to judge man. But he's saying here, man wants to be willfully ignorant of his creation and of these great events of the past, not because science doesn't prove it, but because they don't want to believe it. It's a conscious decision to be willfully ignorant. It says, verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. This is the bottom line as to why man wants to be willfully ignorant of the existence of God and willfully ignorant of the return of Jesus Christ. Because as soon as you make yourself aware of these things and you believe them, then you recognize if there is a God, then I have to answer to him someday. If there is a God, then that means there's a judgment. And that's exactly what he's saying here in verse 7. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Now we're already in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down in verse 10, where the Bible tells us the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God promised Noah that he wouldn't, and us through the rainbow, that he wouldn't flood the earth again. But he is going to judge the earth again. But the next time it'll be with fire. But he also mentions in this verse judgment. Now the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. There will be a judgment. If there's a God, then we have to answer to that God. He gets to set the rules. And that God is going to judge us someday. Are we prepared? The world says, I'm just going to be willfully ignorant of the existence of God. I'm going to be willfully ignorant of the return of Jesus Christ. Christians, we need to stop being willfully ignorant of the coming judgment and start realizing it's real and living for it. There really is a God. He loves us. He saved us. He's coming back to get us, but he will judge us. How many Christians are willfully ignorant of the coming judgment of Jesus Christ? They know in the back of their minds, yeah, there's going to be a judgment, but are they preparing for it? Are they living for it? Are they acknowledging that one day I will answer to Jesus Christ for what I did for him here on earth? Are they ready? A lot of people would rather say, yeah, I know it's there, but I'm just going to live for now. That's not what God told us to do. He said to live for then. So, verse 8 of our passage, 2 Peter 3, but, beloved, be not ignorant. So there's that word ignorant again. Verse 5, he said that the world is willfully ignorant. Verse 5, he says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He says, don't be ignorant of the fact that that time means nothing to God. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 90, verse 4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. I'm talking about God. Time means a lot to us. To God, time is irrelevant. Time is just a thing that means a lot to man. And God is saying, don't be ignorant of the fact that God will do everything in his timing when he believes it's right. And then he tells us this great promise, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. So people scoff at the return of, why hasn't Jesus come back? It's been 2,000 years. What's taking so long? God gave us the word, long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's long-suffering that causes him to wait, because he wants people to be saved. Notice down in verse 15, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. So the world is already willfully ignorant of the existence of God. Otherwise, more people would get saved and go to church. But let us not be willfully ignorant of the fact that God has withheld his coming because of his long suffering, because he wants people to be saved. And let's not be willfully ignorant of the coming judgment. Let's acknowledge it's real and that we will answer to Jesus Christ. Are we preparing for it? Are we ready for when Jesus comes to take us home? Verse 9, all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. Not willing that any should perish. What's God's will? That all should come to repentance. God wants as many people saved as possible. Why? Because he loved us so much that he died on Calvary. And that's the most amazing story in history. So the world is completely, willfully ignorant. They make a conscious decision to ignore the conscience that God gave them, which tells them, I know there's a God, I know there's a creator. They sear that conscience through sin and say, I'm going to be willfully ignorant of his existence. I'm going to say there isn't a God. And that way I don't have to think about answering to him someday. But once we're Christians, we've already acknowledged what our conscience tells us. There's a creator. He loves me. He cares about me. He wrote his will and his word for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. He offers me eternal life, and I've accepted it. But folks, there's still going to be a judgment. Don't be willfully ignorant of the reality of that coming judgment. And don't be willfully ignorant of the fact that God wants us to prepare for that judgment, and that Jesus Christ is going to come back at any moment. Don't allow the scoffers to affect you. There will be scoffers. There will be false prophets. That will just increase until Jesus returns. But until then, we as God's children, God says, he reminds us there in verse 8, be not ignorant. So don't be ignorant of the truth that we will answer to God, that he's coming to get us. And as the world continues to look for answers to their dilemmas, and they're not going to find them outside of the Lord, and they're willfully ignorant, we just need to keep telling them, listen, there is a God that created us, and he loves us, and he wants to save us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And just to prove that, he died himself for our sins. So let's not be willfully ignorant, Christian. And if an unsaved person happens to be on and you've been willfully ignorant of God's existence and God's upcoming judgment, don't. Stop and realize there's a creation, therefore there's a creator. Stop and realize there is a God, and he loves you. He loves you so much he died for you and rose again for you and offers you eternal life. Have you accepted what he offers to you? I want to thank you again for joining us online. I will be posting this video to YouTube right away, and also the audio I'll be posting. The audio will be pristine. It's on a separate device, so we're all good. And again, we'll probably upload pre-recorded videos in the future so we don't have any more of these Facebook issues. But thank you for joining us. 2 Peter chapter 3, willfully ignorant. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word and for Jesus. And